Hello, everyone. It's October 11th, Monday. I'm your facilitator and host for today, Julie Kazmariou. So nice to see your faces. Some are new to me, some are familiar, some are familiar to each other, some are new. So we'll take a moment to just go around and share our names after we share. There's a class agreements. I just want to make sure you have all the, you have the class agreements handy. Today, we're going to be talking about competency number three, establishing and maintaining agreements. It's always a popular topic. And we're going to review the class agreements. Do you have the class agreements? Does somebody want to read those out loud? And once we do that, I'll invite an introduction from each of you. Class agreements, anyone have them present? Also, what's good to have close to you is the competencies and the PCC markers.
I can do the class agreement. I've got
okay.
It open.
Okay, great. All right. Go for it.
I will. All right, so class agreements. Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes, listening to audios of the classes. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. Coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgements are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thank you.
Thank you. I remember you saying in another class, I think you might've read them before, and how once you read them out, you really fully landed and or something to that extent. And I just feel like with every agreement that you read, I really got it. And so like what you're transmitting energetically as you're reading, it really feels felt. So thank you for that. Does everybody agree to the class agreements?
Yes.
No objections? Okay, that's good. Acknowledge rather than criticize. I will never object to that one. So thank you, Anthea, for sharing. And we also move into, as part of Deeper Conversations Coaching, as we get into the content of the day and conversation, just a moment of connection. Before I do that, I would love to just... so that we make sure everybody knows each other and further create this confidential, safe place, safe space. Share your name and where you're joining us from and perhaps what brought you here today. Lalia, I seem to be looking at you. Do you want to start?
No, I think I'm first anyway, on my screen.
Okay.
So anyway, because I came in first, I think. I'm Lalia Helmer. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we have this sudden wind and cold here, which is a surprise for us. What else am I supposed to say? What I'm here for? I'm here to get my CEU credits, but really what I'm here for is to just get more learning and development for myself and my coaching. And this is what, a fifth week or something? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And man, it's just been incredibly valuable. I'm really grateful.
I'm grateful that you're here. And just, you know, I don't want to extend like the time, what I do want to extend is this opportunity for you to share like one strength in your coaching that you've noticed is showing up, that you're bringing today?
Well, I've been focusing on how to work on it. And so, but I am an intuitive person. And so it's a good thing. It can be, lead me astray sometimes. But it's a good thing. It's a strength.
Excellent. Thank you, Lalia. Welcome who's joining us with an unidentified number, but you'll be joining us as we circle around the Zoom call.
Yeah, this is Pam. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time getting in. I just got a new laptop this morning, and so okay. I'm getting Zoom launched, but I'm still working on it.
Okay. Congratulations on the new laptop. Thanks for letting us know. I called you Elizabeth before. I see you've changed your name to Betsy. So Betsy, thanks for that. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. That's something I've dealt with my whole life. I'm constantly Elizabeth, but call me Betsy. So today's nothing different. So hi, everyone. I'm Betsy Reeder. I'm based in New Jersey, just north of Philadelphia. I've been an executive coach for about the past 20 years and completely and totally love it. And I've participated in deeper conversations before. And there's always so much value in, you know, that you get from all of the people in these groups. So I'm very excited to be participating again this year. And I would say that one thing that I'm working on I guess it's a strength.
Yep.
That you bring for your coaching. I've really been working on further developing the strength of really being able to listen deeply and truly seek to understand what is happening with the people I'm working with and what it is that they truly want. And I'm just finding it, you know, I love doing it and I find it very valuable.
Beautiful. Thank you, Betsy. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm seeing Maureen next on the screen. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you. I'm Maureen. I'm calling in from Denver, Colorado. And I signed up for a few of these courses because I had a couple of CEUs I needed for recertification. But I was particularly excited about this topic. I feel like it's so important and it shows up in different ways. And I'm particularly interested in navigating this topic when you were hired by a company or an HR department to coach someone around an issue and, you know, just being really clean with those agreements while serving the client wholeheartedly and what's important for them while you're navigating some of the other agendas surrounding the contract.
Excellent. I see a lot of heads nodding, so I look forward to giving you that space to go into that today. And what would you say, Maureen, is a strength that you're noticing and that you're bringing today in your coaching?
I would say curiosity. I love sitting in that place. I love generating questions that create curiosity as well as, you know, coming from my place of curiosity.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you. Welcome. And Thea?
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Anthea Ong. I'm actually joining you all the way from Singapore. So it's just past midnight. You know, I sometimes wonder how is it that I'm still awake? But a lot of it really comes down to just As the session goes, I actually get more energized. So in the beginning, if you're seeing me sort of, you know, struggling to keep my eyes open, it's been a long day. But these conversations in the last 5 weeks have really just been energizing. So very happy to be here, here for the CEUs, but also missing all these deeper conversations and missing just being able to travel and always meeting because I used to travel so much. Particularly to the States and Europe. So this is an opportunity. I could have chosen a local program or regional program, but I thought, okay, I'll just put myself out there and start to sort of meet people, you know, by choosing a program like this. And I haven't killed myself yet with staying up, you know, twice a past midnight. A strength or something I'm really grateful for in terms of what I can bring to my coaching sessions would be my presence. And so that's been something that I think that has been, you know, part gift, but part sort of, you know, honoring that and feeling like it's grown stronger you know, as I get deeper into the coaching practice. So
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for being so willing and engaged.
Thank you. Happy to.
Boris, nice to see you. Welcome.
Hey guys. I guess I'm one of the new faces that you mentioned earlier. I don't think I've ever met anybody that I'm looking at. So yeah, I'm Boris. You can call me Boris. I'm currently in Poland, which is kind of cool because it's just past 6 p.m. So I'm done with work. I'm on my couch with my dog and it's pretty awesome. Ready to learn. I don't know. What else do you want to know about me? It's
So much. But we could start with what brought you here in a nutshell, right? And then what's a strength in your coaching that you're noticing is showing up that you're also bringing today?
Right. So this is the part of the year where I'm typically trying to put some time away for, you know, self-development or self-improvement, whatever you want to call it. And I was going to take part in the Converge this year, but like I had to pull out because I have a trip scheduled. So I was looking for something similar that would allow me to, you know, connect with, you know, people and maybe bounce some ideas off of and get some different or deeper knowledge. And this seems like the perfect place. So that's why I'm here. In terms of my strengths, I guess it may not be something that people think about often, but I work in a couple of, besides obviously business, because that's what we all do, I'm assuming, I work with a couple of like healthcare outlets where I sort of cooperate with like psychiatrists and therapists and stuff. So I guess the unique thing that I think I bring to the table is that I interact with people in all walks of life, as they say, and that sort of allows me to look at very, very different issues without sort of assigning bigger or smaller validity to what they are. So I'll, in the same day, I'll talk to someone who's having like a business related issue, and then someone who's experienced like a personal loss, and then someone who just broke a fingernail, you know, and all those three things are equally as important to me because, or maybe they're as important as the other person tell me that they are. So I guess that's, I consider that a strength. That I don't assign you know, any validity to the issues that people bring.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks.
And thank you to your dog for making him or herself known.
Oh yeah, she's out there.
You know, they say, you know, you're not in the room until your voice is heard. So she knew. So Chuck, welcome back. Yeah. And this is my first time meeting you.
Thank you.
Some others here too. So take it away.
Okay. Hello, everyone. It's nice to see you all. My name is Chuck Burke. I live in Fairfield, Connecticut, not far from New York City. I think the thing that, you know, it's funny because I all kinds of little connections today. So the first thing I was going to say is I'm bringing my listening, and somebody else said that. And then it was, presence. No, I can't read my own. Then presence.
Yeah, that's what
so I
said.
To make something up now. Present. And it's about connection. So that's, I think, one of the things for all of us. Probably it's easy to get isolated. You know, doing the kind of work we do, at least it feels like that for me. The other connections is, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's
So I have a couple of trips coming up. One is to Poland and one is to Singapore in the next couple of months.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, so that connects to connection, I guess. Anyway, so, you know, and part of this is I need my CEUs like everybody else, but, you know, I should be doing more of this anyway. It's just easy to get so caught up in doing the work that we forget, I forget to keep learning and being connected to other coaches. So it's important. Thank you.
Thank you. Grateful that you're here.
Thank you.
Pam, welcome. You made it with your new laptop. Congrats.
Yes.
You look clearer even.
Oh, do I? Good.
No, I'm just saying. It's good though. I like it.
Yeah, my laptop crashed over the weekend. So good morning from Wisconsin. It's still considered morning here. It's 11:17. And I am a chief HR officer and I do all internal coaching. So, and I'm here for my CEUs as it sounds like everyone else. And what Chuck just said really resonated with me about I should be doing this far more because it just recenters me when it comes to the coaching and the key principles of coaching. Sometimes you get into bad habits and it just brings you right back to what you should be doing as a good coach. And I believe I'm good at and what others have continually told me is that when they talk with me or when they're in a session with me, that my presence, they feel like they're really being heard and I'm very centered on them with little distraction. So like many have already said, is that presence typically is my strength along with a lot of empathy that I bring to conversations. So I make folks feel comfortable in oftentimes really difficult conversations that they're trying to surface.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, wow, we're holding special company here, everyone. Thank you. I'm going to invite us in a moment to just, you can leave your cameras on or you can turn them off, but to just enter into the space of connection, sort of churning changing the channel on moving into this deeper conversation of coaching with your coaching presence. And I'll just introduce myself for those who don't know you. I mean, I'm grateful and honored to be here facilitating deeper conversations coaching. I was a participant many years back. I've been a coach, certified coach since 2007. I'm a certified mentor coach and PCC coach. And I met Sherry back in 2007 and have been honored and privileged to know her and Jamie and learn so much from them. And I love Anne and also I've known her for quite a few years. So it's a beautiful company of coaches and I work with groups and individuals. I'm primarily a life coach and I also on faculty as a coach, educator and trainer. And I work worldwide and just honored and always humbled to be in the presence of coaches and clients. It just, you know, by the day, it just deepens and gets more and more rich, you know, because it is, like you said, Anthea, a practice and it's personal and it's professional. So really nice to be here with you. And so that being said, if you want to just take a moment to close your eyes, if that feels comfortable for you, I'm just going to invite you into a moment of connection with yourself and maybe tuning out as you already seem pretty present to me, but just, you know, even with more conscious awareness of connecting to this gift, this strength that you shared about yourself, about your coaching and locating that. Maybe it's showing up somewhere in your body or you're feeling it somewhere. As you notice your breath, inhaling and exhaling and just coming present to this moment and to where this strength within you exists. Maybe it's just acknowledging it, the presence in you, your listening, your empathy, your intuition, your curiosity, your compassion and versatility, your connection. Just notice where it's showing up and how it feels to notice the strength in you and how you bring that into your day and to those you work with and those you're connected with and how you've generously invited that in today with each other. So just take a few deep breaths. And when you're ready to come back with your eyes opened, videos on, I invite you to come back. Welcome back, everyone. This is also the moment when we choose willing participants to be a coach and a client for the Wednesday session when we do the practicum. So you get coached for 30 minutes And then we unpack that together with acknowledgement and awareness of the competencies. So maybe those who haven't participated yet, and you're going to be, you know, you're going to be here on Wednesday. Are you feeling the call to either be a coach or a client for Wednesday's class on October 13th? Who will be here on Wednesday? Chuck, Anthea, Lalia. Okay.
Well, I coached last week.
You coached and you were a client, right?
And then I was a client the week before, and Theo was my coach the week before. So
yeah, I'll do that. One or the other.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm happy to do one or the other.
Thank you, Chuck. So mm-hmm. Chuck and Anthea, you haven't been a client yet? You're on mute.
I'm muted, yes. Happy to be a client. And then Chuck can be the coach since I just did the coaching bit 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I remember that. So that's everybody's comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you good, Chuck?
Yes, I'm fine. It would be delightful.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. So as we move into the third competency, is there somebody who would like to read the definition and then the first four subcompetencies?
I can do it.
Okay. Thank you, Lalia.
Okay. Competency three, right?
Yes.
Establishes and maintains agreements. 3.1. Coach partners with the client to identify or reconfirm what the client wants to accomplish in this session. 3.2.
I'm gonna stop you for a second, Lalia. I think you're reading the markers, which are also very important. But I'd love to start with the competencies.
All right, I don't have that.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem, but that's great. The markers are important and we will bring them up. So maybe you could read them further on in the call. Is there somebody who has the competencies? Pam? You could start with the definition and then read the top four, please.
Definition, partners with the client and relevant stakeholders to create clear agreements about the coaching relationship, process, plans, and goals, establishes agreements for the overall coaching engagement as well as those for each coaching session. 1, explains, do you want me to keep going, Julie?
Yeah, you could read the first four.
Okay, please. Great. 1, explains what coaching is and is not and describes the process to the client and relevant stakeholders. 2, reaches agreement about what is and is not appropriate in the relationship, what is and not being offered, and the responsibilities of the client and relevant stakeholders. 3, reaches agreement about the guidelines and specific parameters of the coaching relationship, such as logistics, fees, scheduling, duration, termination, confidentiality, and inclusion of others. And 4, partners with the client and relevant stakeholders to establish an overall coaching plan and goals.
Thank you. Anyone else want to do the rest?
I'll do them.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Partners with client to determine client-coach compatibility. Partners with client to identify or reconfirm what they want to accomplish in the session. Partners with client to define what the client believes they need to address or resolve to achieve what they want to accomplish in the session. Partners with the client to define or reconfirm measures of success for what the client wants to accomplish in the coaching engagement or individual session. Partners with the client to manage the time and focus of the session. Continues coaching in the direction of the client's desired outcome unless the client indicates otherwise. Partners with the client to end the coaching relationship in a way that honors that experience.
Period. Excellent. Not question mark. Right. Thank you. Thank you. There's a word that pops out, you know, in reading these are the, you know, the new competencies, this word that is new for this set of competencies. Did you see that word too? Everyone?
Partners.
Yes. Partners. It actually made me think of what Boris was sharing and all these relationships that you have with the different people, whether it's, you know, however it's deemed valid by some or others, how you're experiencing each client as important as the next. And I really felt like you're partnering with your client. You know, I love this word partner. And this is, you know, something that we're seeing in these new competencies. It's really about like autonomy, promoting autonomy and self-responsibility, but also partnership between the coach and client. Have you experienced that in reading or working with these competencies? How does that impact you as a coach?
I'll offer my own perspective on that. And I think what I really like about it is that it causes the agreement to come back to life and to come back to part of the conversation throughout, so that it's not just at the beginning, but it instead is discussed at key points in the process, and then really keeps both the coach and the coachee, as well as any other stakeholders, really accountable for this, particularly given the investment of time and money that's made.
Mm-hmm. And there is this addition. So like in this new competency, there's three agreements have been delineated. Does anyone know or want to share what they are, what they've noticed? If we look at the agreement between the client and the coach, so example, logistics, fees, expectations, duration, and the goals for engagement, an arc of the session. And finally, the agreement we create within each coaching session. So there's the overarching, there's the agreement within each session. And also, of course, new is addressing the relevant stakeholders in this competency. So I'm not going to spend all the time like delineating between the past competencies, the new one, but this is a clear difference. And I think you're speaking to that too, Betsy, is just let's be accountable to all of the parties involved, including our own accountability. And so I'm just wondering, you know, how that helps you or empower you in your agreements going forward. Does this change anything about how you set agreements?
I'm not sure it changes anything. I think it just is a good reminder that, you know, it's easy, I think, over time to forget, you know, when we do a lot of this over time, you know, the fundamentals and the basics to me, you know, I work with all, you know, executives. So we just jump into the work, and I sometimes don't take time to say, here's what the deal is. This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. So I think it's, and I think it's more clear and more defined here than what we had in the past, as I recall what we had in the past anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Maureen?
It also brings up to me the multi-layer of agreement, that it's agreements with stakeholders, it's agreements within the session, it's agreements of the entire scope, it's agreements how we're showing up. You know, it helps me be mindful of how many different agreements are operating at the same time and to check for alignment with those agreements periodically.
Mm-hmm. And you were, did I hear Pam?
I was just going to say, for me, it's also a nice reminder that even though I primarily coach internal clients, it's still important to go through all of those pieces. Sometimes as an internal, you might skip over those things very easily. And I love the word partner. I like approaching that. I like the idea of approaching it using that language versus coach and client or coach. So I like just that change of language to start talking about it in that framework.
Nice. Thank you.
like to add another thought, and that is what came to mind with what everyone is saying is that opportunity to go to the balcony, so to speak, and the coach really being the one that, and the coaching agreement that sets the tone for that, because it's so easy, as we all know, to get so immersed in the coaching and so immersed in the issues that being really intentional about taking that step above it all to revisit where we've been and where we're going can add so much value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does anybody want to speak to like how you handle like the overarching agreement, the macro agreement? Like, do you have an intake form? How does that work? You know, I see there's a lot of people here who work with organizations. Boris?
Yeah, man. So I found, for better or worse, I'm not sure, you know, like what's your take on it, but I found that both in business, actually, and also like life coaching, it feels like people require actual official sort of written contracts less and less. I'm not sure if you guys agree with that or not, but like, it seems just like even in business, if it's like a sort of high management contract, a lot of times it's just you know, a few sentences in an email that just like lays out the logistics of the thing. So we're going to be meeting like this many times a month or whatnot, and that's about it. The rest is just sort of left to the actual relationship. And I get, maybe it's to the detriment. I feel like it's not. I feel like it just puts more pressure on what Betsy said as far as the accountability. And in a way, maybe allows us to be a little more flexible in terms of how the contract may change along the way. And then it gives us the space to sort of like, I think Chuck mentioned, like to revisit sort of what's going on and where we've been and where we're going on like a provisional sort of day-to-day basis. So I feel like that's a good thing, but some people may disagree, probably.
Thanks for sharing. I imagine there's some responses here.
Well, I agree with Boris. I you know, basically, when I contract with anybody, it's I just have a what I call a coaching process form that lays out what we're going to do. It's, you know, and I adjust it sometimes based on certain things, but stakeholder feedback is in there, whatever assessment I'm going to use, so people know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And as Boris was saying, it's because I tend to work with the same companies a lot, it doesn't seem to be essential that we, you know, they pretty much know what I'm going to do. I pretty much know what I'm going to do. It's more for the client to make sure that they understand what the process is and how it's going to unfold. And that sometimes that gets signed, sometimes it doesn't even get signed. So, you know, just that's sort of how it works. But it's, again, a good reminder to say, these are the things we're going to do. These are the things that I will do and things I won't do. You know, what am I going to share with the company that's paying me? All of those kinds of things that are important for people to know. So one of the things, I promise I'll stop talking in a minute. One of the things that I say to people is, I will give the people who are paying me some general impressions of what we're doing, but I will never tell them anything you said, so that they feel comfortable enough to be able to share things they need to talk about.
Maureen?
I'm in line with what Chuck is saying. I have recently put in some new clauses in my agreements where I might have a high level agreement with who's hiring me to come in, but then they often will have me talk with the manager of the person. Mm-hmm. And so between the manager and the person, I have another agreement where they both write out what the goals are of the coaching, and they have a mutual agreement of how they're checking in throughout the coaching. And then my confidentiality is outlined in that. And I feel like that's helped me build rapport with the client and trust and, mm-hmm, removes some of that triangulation that can sometimes happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Thea, am I sensing a comment coming on?
Yeah. Yeah. So
For my part, when it comes to the sort of the overarching goals, I tend to ask them to, well, I've got kind of a, you know, a set of standard questions to ask them. For them to sort of, you know, share their goals for the entire coaching experience. So that's kind of written, get them to write it down, and then we go through that in setting the foundation on the first session. But with each session, that's not, you know, something that's written, right? That's kind of, you know, being sort of put out at the start of the session. So that's that. In terms of the other part of the written agreement that we both sign, it's really sort of focusing on very much, you know, speaking to the partnership framework. So it talks really very little legalese, but, you know, lots of sort of agreeing, or I commit, you know, to, as a client, I commit to learning as my responsibility, or, you know, as a coach, I commit to holding, you know, your welfare and your interests as my sole focus. So it's almost like a pledge, if you know what I mean, right? Like we are both, yeah. So that's kind of how my agreement is. Nothing too, well, at least I don't think of it, because with my other hats, I'm signing huge agreements, right? Business agreements that goes into, you know, 50, 70 pages. But this I would not call a standard legal agreement. I feel like it's more a pledge to each other.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But we do sign it though. To sign on it.
And how does that serve you in your, like, in your coaching and in your presence?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, first of all, it allows the client, and many of them have given me the feedback that it makes them feel, well, of course, because their bit comes up first, right? And it allows us, as we are going through the agreement, to talk about them. We start with them, you know, and in doing so, it already creates a conversation. It allows the client to share with me what are some of the things that, you know, they want me to know about, and whether these are some of the things they can pledge to. Do we need to change and all that? So yeah, I know it sounds a little bit fluid, but I feel it has served well. You know, it truly, I mean, I think we used to call it setting the foundation in the old competency, right? It does feel like we are setting a foundation, and that we are actually co-creating even that piece of written document together. That it's not sort of set in stone like most legal agreement, right? You kind of, okay, this is the basis and you can't remove some of these clauses, but we really do come together and agree on that, you know, through that sort of that co-creation process. And in the co-creation process, we actually get to understand each other before we even launch into the coaching relationship.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm curious also, what about like the overarching objective? Is that also established for, for you? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Like, what do they want by the end of the 12 months or the 6 months?
Yes.
And that's stated in your sort of intake or initial macro agreement.
Right. Yeah. So that one is definitely stated. But the individual sessions, no. Right. So the overarching one, definitely. But each session, you know, we would ask, I would ask, you know, what would they like to explore? You know, what are they called to be coached on? And I will even ask him, how does that then link back to the overarching goals that, you know, we had set at the beginning of the coaching relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Number one subcompetency is explains what coaching is and is not, and describes the process to the client and relevant stakeholders. How's that showing up for you? And is it showing up in your agreements?
I actually asked them straight out and put it in that too. Once they have understood, ask them straight out if they are aware of the difference between consulting, therapy, and coaching. And then we go through, you know, a conversation around that. Okay. And that actually is in that sort of pledge that we talked about. So that's, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a part of it. But it's more than that, more than just mm-hmm. adding a sentence. Yeah, but there's a conversation around it.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts, questions, comments on that?
I have a question, and it's the overall question, and I hope it's okay to ask it at this point, but I'd like to address it at some point. And that is that so many clients come not knowing the difference between the coaching and the consulting. Mm-hmm. And I guess a better word, I would say advising. And so even if you have the conversation in the beginning, they still have a preconceived, because there are admittedly coaches out there who have a different training and a different perspective and coach differently. And part of that coaching is what I call sort of the athletic coaching model, where you're helping that person, you know, identify their strengths and weaknesses and all that kind of thing. But you're also giving them advice or guidance on what they need to work on, right? As mm-hmm. an athletic coach, you're going to have to do that. So people assume that's what a coach is, that a coach will jump in and say, and I have done that. I have to admit, I have done that when I felt it was the right thing to move the client forward. But that's primarily my experience, what they expect. They expect advice in some circumstances. And so that coaching agreement saying, hey, this isn't going to be about advice, may not work for them. Even if they agree to it further along the line, they're going to say, hey, I want, you know, what do you know about this? And I may know something about this, you know? So it's, for me, it's a very tricky issue. Yeah.
I hear that.
I would agree with that. And also the way it comes up in a lot of the conversations that I have are that they come into it not expecting to have to do much work, you know, that they're going to show up for the sessions and that, and as you say, Lelia, if I'm saying your first name correctly, you know, that it's just, they're going to leave with a whole lot of ideas and advice and answers and all of that, as opposed to they're really going to have to do the searching for answers and what's best for them and in their environment. And they're going to have to work on it in between the sessions as well.
Yes. Boris, go ahead.
Right, so, so here's my take on what you asked, but I think also touches on Lalia's questions as well. I feel like, especially with sort of fresh clients, fresh as in people who participate in coaching for the first time, it's probably even more important to focus on what coaching isn't rather than what it is, because it seems like what it is for a lot of people is just such an abstract concept before they actually experience it for the first time, that the best job we can do explaining would probably not be enough to actually get the point across. But I feel like, even though we don't typically do that, a negative example is really what's needed at the start. So go into why it's not therapy or why it's not consulting, and just maybe even be a little brutal and tell them straight up, listen, you're the one who's going to be working, not me, you know. So I found that approach sort of gets us going a lot better sometimes than like going into detail what the coaching process actually is.
Good point.
I have to agree with Boris, because that's why I was nodding my head. You know, one of the lines there that I would always you know, like to remind the client is that they are responsible for their actions and their inactions. So it's really, you know, sort of putting it out there that this is not about the silver bullet and the magic pill that you'll be getting. But Lalia is absolutely on point. It's you almost always come out to that sort of situations. And I think I've shared a couple of times because I have a sort of a public figure type of status here. And people, when they would seek me out, they tend to expect that I'm actually going to be giving them advice. So it means that I take a lot of time just to filter these clients first before being able to sort of, you know, get them to a place where I think I will be able to honor my professional code as a coach. It's tricky. I literally just had an experience last week with a C-suite client who came to me literally asking and putting down his goal for that session to say, I want to have your advice, you know, on whether I should be investing in this. Then I'm like, what? And so, well, thankfully that was the second session. I had to take him back to just the first session and what we had agreed on. And watching that, it was easy because he was asking something that I have all the sort of expertise, professional expertise to be able to consult and give him that. So literally it just happened last Thursday and I just think, wow. So you just have to sort of keep reminding them, even though this was his second session and we literally just talk about, you know, what it's not. You know, the previous session. So yeah, it's tricky. But Julie, I remember vividly the last time I was in your session, you mentioned that even if it happens during the course of the conversation, then it becomes a different agreement. So then we have to call it out, right? Which is kind of what I did. And I actually said, well, look, we can park it aside, but this is not going to come into the coaching conversation.
It sounds like you did a great, great job letting him do the work. I think Anne said this a couple of sessions ago. You probably remember, for those who were here during that session, she said there's three rules to coaching when she was talking about ethics: make the client do the work, make the client do the work, make the client do the work.
So
Chuck, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you, Anthea.
Probably get kicked out of the union for this, but sometimes working with executives, their time is so tight, you know, that it's hard not to offer some guidance and advice. But here's how I think about it. I detach from the outcomes of it, you know, and I do a couple of things, you know, for what it's worth. So one of the things is I ask them what they've thought about me before I tell them anything. And then if I can get away with it, I don't tell them anything, but if I can't get away with it, I sometimes offer a list of things that they could do. So it still makes them think and have to pick something, an action that they're going to take, instead of me saying, well, you know, and I will ask them also, what do you think will happen if you do that? Because I've noticed at times people's judgment on some of these things seems to be a little in question because of stress, pressure, and everything that's coming out of it. So I also think that for a lot of people, they're used to getting their information that way. So in other words, they see us as experts and providing them with some, I know this is not what ICF says, so you can report me to the authorities, but telling them what, you know, where to look, how to think about things, maybe giving them some guidance, as long as I label it that way. And I ask them, all right, so do you want this piece of information?
Right.
And, you know, if they've asked for it. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Okay, well, here are a couple of things. That's it. Whether they choose to do it or not, I have to let go of that. In the same way I do when they decide, when they set a goal and they haven't reached it. You know, I'll ask them this, you've said that this is important to you and I see that we're struggling there. So what do you think that's about? But you know, certainly as coaches, we never take that personally. Anyway, for what it's worth, that's as honest as I'm going to be for the rest of the day right there.
Appreciate your honesty. Thanks, Chuck. Maureen.
In line with what you're saying, Chuck, I've had executives come to me and they want skill acquisition. You know, maybe they'll come to me and say, I want to improve my public speaking.
Right.
You know, that's very different than what we would work on in a normal coaching engagement. Right. So I find, and I've kind of learned this the hard way, that I have to be very clear in my mind. Is this client looking for a skill? Are they looking for clarity around something or motivation? And I feel like I can effectively serve all those things. But if I have clarity, then it's easier to say, you know, here's some research reading on public speaking. Take it, run with it. Let's meet back and see where you're at. And, you know, and then do the coaching process. But for me to think about, are they looking, is it an ability? Is it an awareness? Or is it motivation on an action? And if I can separate those things, that helps me stay in the coaching role.
Nice. Thank you, Maureen. I recently heard, I think it was Laura Berman Fortgang. She's a coach, been a coach for many years. And she said something that really just put the experience into language, that coaches are process experts, not industry experts. And I felt like that, of course, you could be an industry expert, but when you're the coach, you're the process expert, you know? And I felt that it was very relieving to hear that, you know, of course I know that, but it was just a nice way to experience what coaching is. That's what came up right now. Maureen, I also just wanted to, you had mentioned you wanted to get deeper into certain areas around the competencies. Do you feel like that's being addressed? Is there something else you wanted to speak to around that, around this competency?
No, I think it's just helpful for me to be mindful of the multi-layer of agreements happening and to make sure there's alignment with those.
Yeah. And how do you make sure that there's alignment?
I think for me, it's keeping them up front and center. You know, it's setting the agreement, you know, putting, I'm sorry, my office is right downtown and there are sirens going by. So I apologize for the noise. You know, one thing that's helped me is putting some written language in my agreement around confidentiality and making sure that the manager, the hiring sponsor, and the client are all on the same page of what coaching is doing. And that's very different than if somebody comes to me individually for coaching, but it's more, you know, when you're brought in after somebody's performance review or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's always a tricky thing because you don't want coaching to look like it's remediating something. That's not what it's about. So using the right language in agreement so it reframes all of that and ensures that everybody's on the same page is what I'm trying to do now, but I'm always open to learning more around that.
Mm. The agreements, they create a confidentiality, of course, and a safety as well, and a structure. You know, it's like the overarching structure and then like the micro structure of like the, and we're going to move into that after we take a few minute break, but like, how do we create the agreement in the individual session? And how do you feel about that in your own practice with your clients? And do you feel like that creates, is that providing you clarity as the coach, you know, as you're holding the agreement for that individual session? So we're going to get into that. Let's take a 3-minute break. I know it's not so long, but you know, you can do a lot in 3 minutes. So you can turn your videos off, take a breath, get some water, whatever you need to do. And we'll be back here at about at the top of the hour. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. Did you get a lot done in those 3 minutes?
I did discover I have a big bill past due.
Did you have time to notice if anything is coming up that you wanted to bring as a query or a comment around this agreement?
Yeah, actually, it was interesting for me because at one point I was thinking about it as I was looking at things. And I thought, sometimes I wonder whether, again, I'm like, Chuck, are you going to throw me out? My CF. Sometimes is it important to break the agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask what you mean by break the agreement? What's specifically?
Well,
don't mind clarifying.
There's a variety of possibilities. I mean, it could be something small. For example, I was coaching a woman who had her own business, and she also had a toddler, and she was struggling with the balance and whatever. And I've been a mother, and I've been raised kids, and you know, and I mean, I had some experiences from that and how to manage that in a way I would not be serving her to not tell her about my experience, you know, at the very least, or how I handled something. I mean, of course, it's like Chuck said, I offered it to her as just whatever. But in a sense, that was breaking the agreement. I felt it was unfair to not hold that back. There may be more extreme situations than you might know, Boris, because of your relationships with therapists and so on. I mean, there may be situations where people are in danger to themselves or to others or that kind of thing. That's a more severe example of having to break the agreement. I'm just wondering. I mean, it's all for the client's benefit, whatever we do. And if it's for the client's ultimate benefit to break the agreement, then is there not a higher agreement about that? Sorry.
I think breaking and ending are two different, or you could use those differently.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just breaking the agreement. I'm not talking about ending the relationship. Yeah.
A reaction to that, I find it to be a really interesting question. And you know, we mentioned the word advice, that as in coaching, we don't offer advice, but what I'm hearing is, you know, offering other perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And is offering other perspectives breaking the agreement?
Mm-hmm. And my question to that also, or, you know, reflection is, how do you offer another perspective and not necessarily make it about yourself?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you can do that by just throwing out some possibilities, as I was saying before. I also, you know, I'm a recovering marriage and family therapist, so one of the disciplines I learned was solution-focused therapy. And yeah. In solution-focused therapy, one of the things that we learned was, if you had something you could tell somebody and it would help them, why would you not do that? So I understand that it's kind of outside the realm of how we go about coaching, but I think there are ways to do that. So, this is just me doing it the way that I do it. I'm with Lalia. Sometimes it makes no sense to adhere to a rule that's not serving a client. And, you know, to me, one of the things we're trying to model is some flexibility in their thinking, behaviors, choices they make. And if we can't do that, I don't know, it feels a little stuck. Well, Lalia, we can start our own
Coaching Federation?
Coaching, yeah, because you're getting thrown out. So, you know.
I mean, I did a whole course on solution coaching, focused coaching.
Yeah.
Actually, and I got ICF credits for it. So they are not, they acknowledge it very much so. I was, the person who ran the program was profoundly followed the ICF markers. And I was impressed at how he did it. I mean, I was just really impressed.
This is a rich conversation.
Right. So my take would be I feel like it's highly debatable whether or not the situation that Lydia described would even be considered breaking the contract. Honestly, I would lean towards a no on that question. I mean, we all use things like storytelling to sort of throw out some possibilities or throw out, or here's how person X handled this situation. If it happens to be your own personal experience, I don't feel like it matters a whole lot to the other person. The flip side, obviously, being, you know, your advice may not work for other people. So I would say maybe, you know, take that as like a last resort sort of thing. But I wouldn't see that as breaking a contract necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, certainly in the case where you need to refer the client out, I wouldn't call that breaking an agreement. You know, that's you ethically adhering to your role as a coach. So,
yeah.
Right. Well, what would you do if you had a client who was, for example, who admitted to stealing something, or, you know, I mean, you got to break the agreement somewhere, someplace. I would
say. Again, I wouldn't feel like that breaks the agreement, because if they admit to stealing something, I guess it's just more up to your own personal moral code as a coach, whether or not you want to do something about it. I don't feel strongly about stealing, depending obviously on what it is. Personally, it's a different situation, obviously, if they're planning something that could be criminal and could potentially hurt other people, in which case, you know, like legal stuff takes precedent. So again, it's not breaking the contract if you learn that they're planning on doing something and you maybe even call the police to, you know, tell on them.
Right.
Again, this is, you know, this is like your law of the land that you're in, whichever land that happens to be, which again takes precedent. So again, it's not breaking the contract either. That's what I would think.
There's lots that we can, where there's places we can go and go deeper and deeper. I want to get to the, I mean, I'm happy you brought this up. Thank you. I had a thought about that. Does anybody have anything they want to share around this before we go into like the session agreement? There was something that I wanted to address, Lally, and I'm forgetting what it was. It'll come. So, but actually, Lalia, back to you, because you had, we're started to read the markers. Can you read those now?
Sure.
So these are PCC markers. If you have those, if you don't, you can listen to Lalia. She's going to be reading the four competencies, the four markers for this competency.
Okay. So it's competency 3, establishes and maintains agreements. Number 1, coach partners with client to identify and reconfirm what the client wants to accomplish in this session. 2, coach partners with the client to define or reconfirm measures of success for what the client wants to accomplish in the session. 3, coach inquires about or explores what is important or meaningful to the client about what they want to accomplish in this session. 4, coach partners with the client to define what the client believes they need to address to achieve what they want to accomplish in this session. Yay.
Thank you. See, I told you it would come in handy. Just what came to mind too was just the beauty for me anyway, and the safety in having the agreement, whether it's the for the session or the overall objective and the agreement between the client speaking to you, breaking the agreement. Like it's your, you know, we're taking responsibility for ourselves and then also inviting the client to take responsibility. And so, you know, your responsibility, Lali, I'm hearing is like, maybe I have to break the agreement. And so like, how would you do that? You know, and when do you feel it's time for you to end the agreement? You know, what needs to be in place for you when you start a contracting experience with a client to have everything outlined so that if that were to happen, if you felt like if my client tells me he's gonna or she's gonna steal or they're not functioning highly, like what needs to be in place in my agreement so that I feel like I can, you know, cleanly and responsibly and confidentially and honestly end the agreement.
Right. That's very good.
So how do you feel about these markers? How do you feel about the agreement? Like, how do you start your coaching session? And do you start with the in mind of like, I need to hit all these points so that I know where I'm going? What does it look like for you when you think about the individual agreement? Let me just stack that question additionally. Are there questions that you start with? Are there other questions that follow up? You know, what's your system if you have one?
I would say,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Chuck.
I was just gonna say, my first question is, what do you want to work on today? And then that sets the direction and the cadence. And then hopefully I have some other questions that come up along the way that I can stay on the path, but that's generally where I start. And it depends on the client too, and what we already have in the hopper. You know, sometimes there's stuff to check back on and how'd that go on this or that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank you. Betsy, you wanted to say something?
Sure. So I would say where I most often start, and it depends on the client, of course, but where I most often start is a question around, so what's happened since the last time we talked? Or at the end of our last session, we agreed that you would do X, 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 and X. And how has that gone? So kind of pick up from where we left off. And then what do you want to focus on today?
Okay. So the coach partners with the client to identify or reconfirm what the client wants to accomplish in this session. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I often follow that up with, why is this relevant today? Or
right.
What's up, you know, because sometimes clients will talk in the abstract and you want to find out what's going on today to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's 3.3, coach inquires about or explores what is important or meaningful to the client about what they want to accomplish in the session. Mm-hmm. So what's important to you? What's relevant? What's the significance?
Mm.
Did I see your hand, Boris? No, I didn't. Okay. Did I see anybody else's hand or smile? Pam, you just smiled.
Yeah, I was just going to add on that, you know, I think I shared earlier a little bit that I tend to start off with asking what would they like to bring to the space today, so not sort of jumping straight into, the goal first, but for them to sort of bring their intention. So start with the intention, and then next would be, you know, so with what you bring to the space today, and that could be anything. They could have just had a terrible fight, you know, with a spouse or something. And then ask then, what would you like this space to serve you, you know, given what you've just shared. And so that's the second question, would be more about what do we want to work on in this session. So the idea is, I felt, I thought it's been useful to ask that question for them to set an intention. The third would typically be then asking them, you know, just before we go deeper, how would we relate to the bigger goals that, you know, we're working on, right? The overarching goals. It's there. a link to that? I mean, is it related to that, or are we just having this session sort of to deal with what has just happened and what you are showing up with, what you bring to the space? So those are the kind of the three things that I triangulate with, depending.
Okay, nice. And also saying, so it's like in 3.1, it's so identifying what they want to talk about and what they want to accomplish. And so how do you address that part, like the outcome, what they want to accomplish? Is there a question that you have that you ask?
Yeah, I always ask, what would, you know, a good session for today look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one way of asking, but yeah, that's usually how I phrase it.
Thank you. Pam?
I typically say, okay, we have an hour today.
Yep.
Our hour, what would success look like for you? And maybe that's too broad, but.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm going to share, maybe you've heard this, if you've taken Deeper Conversations coaching before, have you heard the acronym TOMS? Yeah. The Cherry and Jamie, yes?
Nothing.
No. So this relates to these markers, the competency, and you know, you can sort of use it as a map. So TOMS, so T is the topic, O is the outcome, M is the measure of success, the meaning, sorry, and S is the success measure. And so that's what comprises the agreement. So the topic, the outcome, the meaning, and success measure. And so often the topic followed by, like as Maureen was saying, what's important to you about that can follow the topic. So topic, meaning, outcome, what do you want to have by the end of today? And how will you know what that is? How does that show up for you? What does it look like? And so like the success measure. It's like, you know, you're getting into a taxi and the driver needs to know where he's going, right? So as the coach, it's like, if the client tells me the destination, then I know where I can drive. We can take all kinds of ways there, but at least I know where I'm headed. And so as a coach, I feel this personally, when I know exactly what the client wants and what the outcome looks like and success measure, then I can just, it could be a process that I'm driving towards and I'm working towards. So I'm not sort of scrounging around. It provides me clarity as the coach to support them because I know what they're working towards and it changes, right? And so what happens when it changes throughout the session? When you do the check-in, you're like, I noticed you came in wanting to talk about this and now we're talking about this over here. Should we stay the course or do you want to alter the destination? You know, and once we do alter the destination, what do you want when you reach that destination? Because now it's a new destination. And so it's like recontracting in the middle of the session. It's just partnering, right? It's partnering. It's like, I'm not telling you to stay on this course and go to this destination. No, now I see you want to go here. I'm right there with you.
But it also helps them see the connection between what they're putting out there, you know, the issues and the things on their mind and seeing if there's any connection between all of those.
Right. Yeah.
And help them further define what the issue is.
Right. So how would you address that in a session?
So if I start to see them start out one way, end up going over here, I might say, okay, what is the, you know, is there a connection between those two stories? Mm-hmm. Or those two issues, and what is the connection, and you know, then maybe, and this is all top of my head, but and then also, what does that tell you about what the more important issue is for you?
Mm-hmm.
So that then they can begin to dig deeper and deeper, and then perhaps get to almost what really is most important at this this point in time, or what the real issue is.
Nice, thank you. So I'm hearing what you're saying is it doesn't mean that we're necessarily altering the course. It's just this is more depth to the conversation, and what's important to you is really rising. and you're just noticing it with them.
Yeah, help notice. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, noticing it with them and helping them see it more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any thoughts, reflections, or the way you do it that works? Do you go into a session thinking, okay, topic, outcome, what's important? How do I know? You know, what do? You have like this framework that you work with?
I once heard someone describe the topic of the conversation as more of like an excuse to have a conversation, and I found that it's, for me, it's a pretty good way to think about it. That a lot of times the topic will change in the meanwhile, and I'm 100% with Betsy on this one, that we can treat the topic as a sort of one semi-steady object that we have in the conversation, because sometimes we may go a little deep into the woods sort of thing, and then the topic will allow us to sort of dial back just slightly, be like, okay, so what does that have to do with, you know, what we agreed on will be the outcome of our conversation. But ultimately, what I'm interested in is just having the most productive possible sort of conversation. So the topic, whether or not it changes, will be the sort of starting point, because we need to have a starting point. But the sort of direction where we might go is a bit of a mystery, typically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just yeah, maybe just be open to the topic changing midway through.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I know we don't have a lot of time, so I almost hate to bring this up. But man, I hate it when they say, I want more clarity. Why do I hate that?
You just want to break the agreement right then, right?
I just hate that.
So how would you, like, what would help you get clearer on that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Why would it help me get...
Like, no, not why, but is there a way that you can unpack that question?
Yeah. It's so broad, and it just like, it's like, what does clarity mean? You know, I mean, of course,
that's a good question.
That's what I ask, but, or how does, what does clarity look like or whatever? But it's just... you know, a lot of times people come and they kind of just want to talk because they think out loud.
Yeah,
and they think out loud and they need it.
Yes, yes.
And that's clarity for them. So, yeah.
And is that okay?
It is okay if that's what they end up saying. Yeah, that, yeah, wow, this is great. I just needed to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What happens when you feel clear? You know, what shows up? And if you have a specific topic, like what happens when you feel clear in your relationship? Does something get impacted that's different?
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you. You're helping me with this. Yeah.
I get a lot of that. I just want it. I want clarity. You know, we all want clarity somehow.
It's true. It's true for them. It's just, I find it a very difficult topic to get agreement on.
Mm-hmm.
Within the session personally. So
yeah, I hear you.
I'm usually suspicious if someone comes in and wants more clarity, because a lot of times that just means that the client is just feeling sort of lazy on that day, and they don't want to have any like specific objective, because like just a little more clarity, just want to work around the subject sort of thing. That kind of tells me they just don't really want to commit to achieving anything, because if you commit to having more clarity, pretty much wherever the discussion goes, it's going to be okay for them. And this is a sort of a good way for them to get out of doing the work. So that's just, I guess, be wary of the sort of people that just want to sort of come in and have a chat. What I try to do typically is to get to some sort of more or less like a precise objective, from the sort of clarity, you know, get a little more concrete if I can.
Mm. That's great. I mean, I think it's I like that you like to make your clients work. And it also makes me refer back to subcompetency 3.4, partner with the client to determine client coach compatibility. Like, it sounds like, Boris, you have certain clients and you know how to work with them. And Lalia, you have certain clients that are attracted to you that you also know how to work with and are navigating that. And so I think it's beautiful to know, like, who do we partner with and what's the language and how do we work with them? Like, Boris, it sounds like you know what your clients want. And so you're there to partner with them. And Lalia, you too. And it shows up differently for each of us. So This is important to acknowledge and notice. We have 5 minutes left. Pam, go ahead. And then we're going to do a go around and we're going to close for today.
I had an executive coach that I worked with for 6 months when I took my role. And one thing he did with me that I really appreciated was he sent me 24 hours in advance, kind of a prep worksheet that basically covered that TOMS. But it required me to really get into that mindset and clarify what I wanted. And then beginning of our conversation, we got to that a little bit in agreement. And then if I started going off, you know, he would stop and say, okay, we're starting to go off in this direction. It's away from what you wanted out of the session. Is that okay? And so asking for permission. And I always appreciated that because when you're, you know, in the busyness of your day, and if you're coming from a meeting or so, you don't have a lot of time to get present.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little bit of that upfront work was really useful for me personally. And so I've taken that approach with some of my internal folks that I do coaching with.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Coaching is about self-responsibility. And I know that I make sure that my clients know that. That is about self-responsibility. And so if there's something that you're needing or you're not getting, to feel safe to share that with me, and you know, how do you like to best be supported? And it also gives you an opportunity to get to know who you're working with and what they need, you know? So thanks for sharing that. How's everybody feeling as we wrap up? I'm going to circle around again, but we'll start the opposite side. So Pam, just to share a takeaway and what you're bringing into your coaching practice from today's topic.
Early on in our discussion today, we talked about process experts. And I really liked that language of approaching and defining the coaching partnership as I'm here to, you know, help you process. And then also this conversation, especially in the last 45 minutes, has really gotten me thinking, especially about the concept of sharing my perspective or storytelling. I really got to kind of regroup on that. So, Lalia, thank you for bringing me up.
Thank you, Pam. Enjoy your laptop. Chuck, you're up.
Well, there are a lot of things, but I think this whole idea of, well, let me do it this way. I think it's more about, for me, being careful of getting into bad habits. And so I just heard a lot of things today that were good reminders for me to, you know, pay attention to my training and to do things in a way that, because I can get sloppy, you know, especially people I work with for long periods of time, which I have some of those. So those were good reminders to me to remember about the basics and what it is I'm trying to do here in terms of helping the coach. So that's what I'm taking.
Thank you. Thanks for your honesty and appreciate that and takeaways. Maureen? Wait, you're on mute.
I have a fire alarm going off in my building. Oh. Can I put it in chat?
Sure. I hope you're okay.
What a day.
Okay. Thank you for being here, Maureen. We'll read the chat. giving clients a preparation form before each call is a way to set up a reflection process for session agreements. Wonderful. I do that as well, and it's, I like it. And Thea.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say the same thing that Maureen just typed in the chat. So I don't do that. And I think that sometimes, you know, it becomes, it's so easy for the session to become a bit of a chat, you know, without, because there's no preparation, right? I mean, I may prepare a little bit, but the client may not be prepared, or I may not even be prepared. So I think, this is really a key takeaway for me. I do like the tongs. You know, it's easy. It's intuitive. So it's something to think about. Also really enjoying, although I'm really, you know, fading, but really enjoying the richness of just different perspectives and the different scenarios. I resonated with what Chuck shared. It's so easy to get sloppy, especially with long-term clients. Very, very easy. And so hearing this different perspectives really help you to expand. Also, you know, just some of the possibilities that you could bring to sort of enliven also a very sort of comfortable relationship.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Anthea, and have a good sleep. I'm going to just invite us, if we could create a succinct ending, because I don't want to keep you over and I already have. So, Boris?
So thanks so much for a warm welcome to the group. It's my first time. I'm already incredibly sad that I won't be able to be joining on Wednesdays, but I have a medical issue that's ongoing that takes me out of social life on Wednesdays, unfortunately. But I'll be with you the remainder of the Mondays, which is awesome. I teach a class at a school for future coaches. And one thing I always stress is that, you know, participating in the coaching community is really the best thing, the only thing we can do to prevent us from getting complacent and ever getting to a point where you're like, yeah, I've seen it all, I've heard it all. You know, I'm sort of like done in terms of, you know, the client number 2,346 comes in and you're like, yeah, I've seen that type. So I already know like what's going on. So being with you, I think it's going to be great at preventing that. So yeah, awesome.
I'm sensing a theme. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Boris. Glad you'll be staying with us. Betsy.
I would say two main things. One is being really committing to being much more intentional about honoring the agreement and keeping the agreement really alive through the coaching. I think that could really add a lot of value. And then the second thing is I love the idea of the sending them the preparation form or questions or whatever it may be, but really, you know, reminding them to be doing the thinking and really preparing
for
our conversation.
Wonderful. Thank you, Betsy, for being with us today. Lalia?
Oh, yeah, I'll be fast. I look at it as I really like sort of the macro view, which is how you, the initial agreement, the overall, for the overall process, the time period, setting that agreement, and then the micro, which is each individual session has its own kind of agreement in that and how to make that better and more effective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what we covered.
Thank you. Thank you for all your sharing, each and every one of you bringing your full self, and we've been learning from each other and really appreciate you bringing yourself here. So thank you for your time. You will be with Anne on Monday and Wednesday. And Chuck will be the coach and Thea the client, and whoever's present, thank you in advance. Have a great day, everyone, or night.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.